I really like music.
I also like music. I like a lot of things. Music is one of them. Music's in my top three favorite things.
Mine include chicken wings.
Oh, dude. We already recording?
We're here. So I was like, I'll just start it now, and, you know, I'm going to edit it anyway.
That's fair.
So it's like, I could trim all this fat.
Like a brisket. I was going to say like a steak, but usually you don't trim steaks with fat.
No. I like a little fat on my steak.
I do too. I was looking at a subreddit yesterday that's like, because I'm subscribed to a bunch of like cooking subreddits, and some woman had gone to this butcher shop and ordered a brisket with the fat cap still on it, and I learned that that's a way of doing brisket called banquet style. I think it was brisket. I'm pretty sure it was brisket. We don't even know if this is staying in the podcast yet.
I don't know yet.
We haven't even done introductions. Nobody even knows who we are.
Ooh, it should stay a mystery.
A mystery forever.
And then they're like, wait, who is this talking? They're top tens. What? Their music taste? Who are they?
Well, who are you?
I am Gibson.
And I'm Galloway.
And we're back.
For our annual podcast episode.
Yeah, our annual episode.
Are we the most infrequent podcast on the planet? Probably not.
No, but, probably not. But I bet.
There's probably a podcast, you know that pitch? A little science experiment with the pitch that drops like once every like 27 years.
Yeah.
I'd be willing to bet they do like a podcast once every time it drops.
Oh, probably. But I mean, the it probably started on the radio because the concept of podcast is pretty new. But that they probably got like a radio segment.
They actually definitely did, because I know about that experiment, I think because of Radiolab, which I don't think actually exists anymore, but Radiolab was, yeah, I don't think it does. I know that both of the hosts don't host it, at least, because one of them retired, and the other dude,
retired.
I think, just, like, gave it up. I think they gave it to somebody else, but I don't know if it exists still.
Retiring from podcasting seems weird.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things where I'm like, I get it, like, retiring from anything, but also I'm like, well, you don't talk anymore?
Well, technically they were like a radio show. They just had a podcast, but they were like broadcast on the radio. Because they were through, I think, New York's NPR, whatever it's called. I don't know. WNYC. I actually think that is actually what it's called.
Whoa. WNYC.
Right? Doesn't that sound... That sounds right.
I mean, yeah. W New York City? You got it.
What is the W in front of radio stations?
Wisconsin.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Every radio...
I know for a fact, whatever it is, it's not Wisconsin.
Every radio broadcast is streamed through Wisconsin. That's why it's...
That would be such a weird place to stream through.
Well, it's because we have the best radio lines.
Okay. It's all the cold air. It allows the radio waves to flow through it much easier.
So all of it's...
cheese resonates much better than regular...
Yes, that's why we're known for radio and cheese. Wisconsin. So that's why it's like WABC, because it's like, oh, Wisconsin, ABC is the new...
Wait, so what is Wisconsin's radio station called? WWWW?
No. We just have three letters.
Oh.
So it's just called like...
Oh, it's like Watergate Gate? It's just Watergate. It's just the Wisconsin's assumed.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you were here, dog.
Yeah, obviously. It's going through Wisconsin.
Like, I wouldn't say I'm going home if I'm at home.
Right. No, that's fair. That's fair. It's not an ATM machine.
Right. Yeah. It's not an ATM machine. Machine's already there.
Yeah. I understand.
But yeah, we're here on the radio. Doing
or not on the radio.
We can be.
How?
We just
Well, you got the connect in Wisconsin to get us on the radio.
Dude, I'm Mr. Wisconsin.
Bro, we should get this next year.
Yeah.
We're going to get on the Wisconsin radio station.
We could be
radio
on,
waves.
We can be on 103.7 Kiss FM.
Is that that's Wisconsin radio station?
That's one of them in Milwaukee.
What we should do is we need to just try and hit Collins until somebody accepts our call, and then we just take over and start talking about our top 10.
He called us and was like, "Hey, you're on the air. What can I do for you?" And you're like, "My number 10 album." And they're like, "Sir, sir?" And I'm like, "No, number 9. A fun album that came out in the fall."
Yeah, so let's talk music.
Let's talk music, man. This was
2024 was a crazy year for music.
Crazy year for music in so many ways.
So many ways.
I'm gonna just jump off the jump, like for like 10 toes down. I'm standing on this business.
Uh-huh.
Making this top 10 was hard.
It was super tough. This was one of the hardest years. This was a good year for music.
This is one of my hardest years.
This is also an interesting year for music because a lot of music stuff happened that isn't even album related.
Right.
Or is, but I don't really care. For example, Taylor Swift dropped her newest album this year, and I don't particularly like Taylor Swift. But then she went on her world tour, which I heard about ad nauseum from people.
Oh my God. And it was like one of, isn't it like the second most profitable like world tour?
Yeah,
ever,
I think it's after Beyonce. Yes, I believe it's after Beyonce.
I think Beyonce's Renaissance tour
also dropped an album this year.
Also dropped an album,
an alleged country album.
An alleged country album. Yeah, I don't think it's country.
I think it has some country songs.
I think it has,
and it has Dolly Parton
country influence for sure. But it's one of those things where I'm like, it's not really, it's a country-inspired album, and I think that's okay, but everyone's like, it's a country album, and I'm like, it doesn't.
I really think that her being from Texas is doing a lot of heavy lifting. Like, yeah, it's like her being from Texas from and Texas. The cover being her in a cowboy hat on a horse, these are like, these are doing much to make this a country album.
Yeah.
And it's called Cowboy Carter.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of, like, marketing stuff that's going on to make you be like, it's a country album. But I guarantee you most people who listen to, like, really listen to country music, which I would not, I listen to country music sometimes, but I would not consider myself, like, a country, like a connoisseur person. I don't think they would use that term. Country. I don't think anybody who listens to that much country would consider themselves a connoisseur. But...
Country connoisseur. No, that's, that was bad. I shouldn't have said that.
No, you can say that.
I can?
I think so.
Yeah!
If Beyonce can make country albums, I think you're allowed to say that.
I'm allowed to yee-hoo.
You're allowed to yee-hoo. I mean, your family's from Texas.
They are.
You're,
oh my
you're
God.
More country than me.
I'm going to make an album called Cowboy Keaton.
But it's actually just disco.
Yeah, but it's a disco album.
Inspired by Rhinestone Cowboy by Glen Campbell.
No. Inspired by Renaissance by Beyonce.
You can just do a mashup of Cowboy Carter and Renaissance.
And call Cowboy Keenan.
Cowboy Keenan. But it's just you doing covers.
But then what's even crazier is the cover is like me dressed as Spike from Cowboy Bebop.
Oh.
In that style. And everyone's like, what the fuck is this? What? And I'm like, I don't know what a cowboy is.
You do Tank. You do the song Tank. That's the one not Beyonce song on the album.
And they do my cover.
And it's the
Tank.
Closer.
Dude, but Tank is so good.
I know, that song slaps. I will note also Cowboy Bebop, not a country anime.
No. Cowboy Bebop is not a country anime. No. So everyone who thinks that it is, you're wrong.
You're going to be disappointed.
Sure, he's a cowboy.
It's mostly jazz, if we're being real here.
You know? That's why, oh, what's his name? Not Spike. Because Spike's the main dude. Who's the dude that's with him?
I know who you're talking about. The big dude.
Yeah.
Wikipedia.
Either way, he's a black guy in the live action one. And he's very black coded. Because it's a... Cowboy Bebop's a black show. Spike should be black too. He's not, but he should.
I mean, respect that they kept him Asian, at least in the live action remake.
Oh, like, which...
Avatar.
I was actually so curious what you were going to say after that, like, cough of, like, oh, there's going to be, like, a punchline here. I was like, what show is he going to say? Oh, my God.
And by the way, I'm not talking about the Netflix show. I'm talking about the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the James Cameron film.
Oh, yes, of course. That's also true.
They were supposed to be Asian.
Notably, not a lot of Asian people in the film. I mean, lots of blue people, but no Asian people.
I mean, well, that movie was marketed to Smurfs.
They just wanted to. Are the Avatar aliens just like the like societal like normative for beauty standards of Smurfs?
Yeah.
Like if Smurfs were hot.
Yeah, if Smurfs were hot, and they fucked with their hair.
Why is it so hard for me to find the name of this dude in Cowboy Bebop?
Just go to the characters.
I'm trying, dude. There is not a page for the character names. I swear to God, it is so fucking hard.
I
swear to God,
if I find this shit before you do.
I know, you're going to be so disappointed in me.
Characters, Cowboy Bebop, let's see.
Come on, let's go. Come on, IMDb, stop it. Why?
His name is Jet.
God fucking God.
His name is Jet, dude. And his last name is Black. His name's Jet Black.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a sick name.
Yeah. So, dude's Black. He's Black in the live action. And, you know, the anime, he doesn't really look Black, but he Black. Kind of like Piccolo. Piccolo's Black, even though he's green.
Like Elphaba.
Yeah, Elphaba's Black.
Well, I mean, she is. Canonically is.
Canonically is. Which, I don't really care about Wicked.
Okay, we're gonna get canceled for that.
I know. But, like, I mean, like, it's, like, one of the, like, I haven't seen it yet, but, like, when it was, like, this movie's coming out, my brain was like, I don't give a shit.
Yeah. I was disappointed, I'm about to really get us canceled.
Oh, my God.
I saw Wicked on Broadway, and I was very disappointed.
The live performance of Wicked I saw one of the tours when I was, like, 15.
I feel like seeing it on tour might have been better. And the thing was that I saw it on Broadway, and I don't think that it... Like, when I go see a show on Broadway, I'm like, I have, like, expectations, mm-hmm. you know? Kind of like, the closest thing I can equate it to is, like, when I go see a movie in IMAX, I'm like, I'm seeing a movie in IMAX. I am expecting certain levels of, like, spectacle and grandeur, and I feel the same way when I see a show on Broadway. And, or if you're not going to have spectacle and grandeur, you have to be, like, so good. Like, my favorite show I've ever seen on Broadway was The 39 Steps, which has no spectacle, no grandeur.
Oh, we've talked about it. I was going to say, I've heard that show's really good.
Yeah.
I think I heard it from you.
Probably. but it was so good. Like, yeah. It was so well acted and so clever, and the way that it just used its space was so good that it's the best show I've seen on Broadway. Even though it's a four-person cast. And then Wicked I saw, and I was like, this is not, like, worth. Because I'm still a huge fan of the music from Wicked.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best, like, sounding musicals.
I think my
Uncanceled.
Show... Boom. Defying gravity. I think my favorite show I've ever seen on Broadway was Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
I've heard that's a really good show. That Who did you see it with?
Great. I went the first time I saw, because I've seen the show twice now, the first time on Broadway... The second time in D.C. The first time I saw it, John Cameron Mitchell,
okay.
who actually played Hedwig in the movie.
Yeah, that it's based on.
Yeah. Was playing Hedwig on the in the show.
Because didn't it, I might be wrong about this, I thought it was originated by, what's his name from How I Met Your Mother?
The Broadway, was originated by, and he won the Tony for Best Actor in a Musical.
What is his name?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Neil Patrick Harris, thank you.
Yeah, Dr. Horrible.
Dr. Horrible. That's what I know him from, too.
Dr.
Everybody knows him from fucking How I Met Your Mother. But
I know him from Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog.
I've never even seen How I Met Your Mother.
I watched that before I watched How I Met Your Mother.
I haven't seen How I Met Your Mother yet.
I watched How I Met Your Mother, and that show, I go back and forth on that show, because I think there are parts of that show that are super problematic, and, like, I think is not a great... like, representation of how people should behave in relationships. But then also, because it's TV, I'm just like, well, this is television.
Yeah.
I'm not going to take any lessons from this and actually apply it to my life.
Right.
To
be fair, most television you shouldn't apply to
you
your
shouldn't,
life.
You shouldn't do that.
I wouldn't use, like, Breaking Bad as, like, a...
Right. I'm not going to be like...
handle getting a cancer diagnosis.
Exactly. Start cooking that meth, dog. No, but, like, I do feel like just a lot of... people do take lessons from media that they consume and apply it in a way that isn't healthy. So then I do have to, like, think about, like, things that I think are problematic in television shows, because I just can't see it as face value entertainment anymore, because then people start to make decisions based off of that. And it's like, well, no, this isn't How I Met Your Mother.
This is why I hate the movie Love Actually.
I've never actually seen Love Actually.
I think it's... it's not literally the worst movie ever made. I think it is the worst. I think society is worse for that movie being made, though. Like, I think the world would be better.
Society is worse with that movie being made.
Yeah, I truly believe that.
Wow.
Because that is like a classic romantic comedy. And I, you think that How I Met Your Mother is problematic? I mean, that movie is super problematic. Like, very, 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 lots of issues in that film. Mm. Everybody listening, I mean, don't, because I don't want to support it. But if you haven't seen Love Actually, watch it through the lens of the modern age, and you'll be like, wow, yeah, that movie is, that's got a lot of shit going on that you should not be doing. We've gotten so off topic of music, though. We kind of started on topic, though.
We started Wicked, on topic, and then with we Wicked, just skewed. And
Dr. Horrible's Sing Along blog has the word sing in it.
It does.
So that's music related.
There was a composer of Love, actually.
There was.
So there's music.
That will be relevant for me later in this podcast. Stay tuned for what that means.
Oh my god. Should we get into it then?
Well, we have, I think we have one more music news thing.
Oh.
That was, I think it took up a lot of the music. I think it took up a lot of just the news.
The news? You want to talk about that beef, dog?
Yeah. There was a very high-profile beef between Kendrick Lamar and Drake this year.
I figured we would get to it when...
Because, yes. Yeah. But I thought it would be... Because it's not technically part of it, we should maybe mention it at least now in the year in review
the
section.
The year in review. Gibson and Galloway present the year in review. That's, we should also do that.
Year in review?
Yeah.
I don't want to do that, man. This year was not...
No. Not this
year. News-wise.
This year...
We should do a different year in review.
Gibson and Galloway review the year...
1987.
Everyone was doing coke. It was everywhere. It was falling from the sky.
Literally. Like snow. Literally. The CIA was dropping it from planes. For those of you who are wondering why there was a laugh into this cut, it's because Keenan had to cough. What?
I could have edited that so cleanly.
I know you could have, but I don't want... I mean, I'm a believer in kintsugi, the Japanese concept of living with your mistakes.
I'm a big believer in sushi, which is Japanese, and it's tasty.
That's also true. But sushi will make you sick. Don't eat
kintsugi. I do a lingo in Japanese.
Congratulations, that's awesome.
I'm over a year now. I'm right. Like 378 or something.
But you did a whole year.
But I did a whole year.
Like practicing every day. Or at least with like your freezes or whatever.
I think I only used my... I remember I used like two freezes when I was home back in like... Whenever I was home for like a month, like over the summer, in Wisconsin on the radio. But I used like two freezes back then. But other than that, no, it's been like every day.
Wow. I mean, that's awesome.
And I'm having fun with it. I think what I told myself if I finish this section, because I'm in section two.
Yeah.
Right now. If I finish this section, I think I'm going to take a class at the community college.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
And like, actually be like, okay, I'm actually just going to like try to
I will say that learning a language in, because I've been doing Spanish on Duolingo, but I've been very bad about practicing it. But I work with a lot of Spanish speakers.
Right.
And that has been
to do it in practice.
So much more helpful than like just having Duolingo. Like Duolingo's great, but Duolingo is more like
Duolingo
practice
teaches
to me.
You how to say things like, that college student is 6 years old. And I'm like,
that's not relevant.
That's not,
but one day that will be relevant. You'll be like, oh my god.
Oh my god.
I know exactly what to say here. Mostly relevant if you went to school in Japan, which you don't. Okay. We'll get to that beef later, I think.
Yeah, oh my god. But that shit,
we'll talk about it.
That shit was crazy.
There's going to be a whole mini segment in this podcast about that.
And the fact that the Grammys are involved.
I know.
Oh my god.
We'll get to it.
But we should get into it because we've been talking for a bit now.
Too long.
We've been talking and we
have people complain about this with podcasts.
We have not mentioned any of our albums. And I'm like, oh my, that's gonna be the majority of it.
Yep. Okay. Would you like to go first? I don't remember who went first last year.
I don't either.
I didn't have time this year. I was trying too hard to jam in as many albums by the end of the year as I
could.
Well,
funnily enough, you know what? Last year, I listened to the year before's podcast.
That's what I did last year, too.
I didn't do that this year, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I was, because I spent all my time yesterday listening
to albums.
Albums.
Because I was like,
Yeah, same.
I kind of do have a similar position that I did last year, though, where I actually just have two albums sitting at number 10, and whichever album I say first, when
And
it's
say
number.
it.
Oh my God, it's. So, number 10, Keenan Gibson's number 10 is The Vandalist by Noga Irez.
Nice.
Yeah, dude.
Nice.
And this is actually kind of taking the spot of, like, my pop album
Really?
of the year.
Interesting.
Because it does like a lot of cool things. It's got like, there are like pop influences. There's some rap.
There's a lot of rap on that album.
There's like some jazzy stuff. But also like there's like this new age sound where like the interludes are fun and cool and like how they transition from things and it really feels like a whole piece. And I really enjoyed it. I have a lot of fun listening to that album.
That is a great album.
Songs like Dumb.
That song is
That
awesome.
song is awesome. Like, Dumb is great. Ay, ay, ay. I cannot help but shake my ass. Ay, ay, ay. Fuck me in the car. Buy me a cigar. And I'm like, what? That's crazy.
As you wiggle your butt
As I wiggle my butt
in the car.
in the car. You know? But I'm in the passenger seat because I don't have a car.
That's fair.
You know? But no, that album was awesome. It came out September 20th, 2024. So later in the year. But it was, I got a lot of listens for me, and it was like something I like recommended to a lot of people because I was like, this is just fun, and I want you to enjoy yourself listening to this, as I did. So that is my number 10. Number 10, The Vandalist by Noga Irez. I would recommend a lot of people listen to it because you will enjoy yourself.
Yeah, it's
like
definitely a pretty easy wreck.
the Hey Hi interlude is also so funny. The one where she's like, hey, if you've made it this far into the album and you're listening to it on vinyl, flip it over. If you're listening to it on a streaming service, go out and buy the fucking thing. And if you're listening to this and it's like the year 2060 or whatever she says, congrats on making it this far. I hope the robots haven't taken over. And then it goes into the next thing, which is like about like the influence of technology and like this generation now, and it's like just like really smart and good, but also so enjoyable.
I have very easy recommendation, I would
Yeah, a
say.
very easy one. Very easy rec. I think
Most
you
people, I think, would
recommended it
like
to
it.
me.
I did. I think you were looking for something to listen to on your way to work, and I was like,
Yeah,
I think you would like this.
I did. And I did. I enjoyed it. So that's what it is. Number 10, The Vandalist by Noga Irez.
Did not make it into my top 10, personally. But it is a good album.
Lame. I knew it didn't because
Yeah.
we were talking about it last night.
I couldn't even remember the name of
Right, yeah, we were talking about it. I was like, this one might. And then you were like, what?
To be fair, I did listen to 397 albums this year.
Congrats,
Thank
dude.
you. Thank you. I had
Yeah,
to slide
this.
that in there.
Yeah. Just like,
Just so you guys know.
397.
I didn't make it to 400. I was trying.
Well, I mean, you didn't make it to 400 before this
That's
podcast. We
true. We're
are.
not recording it by the end of the year right
So
now.
you still got some time.
I will 100% listen to more than 400 by the end of 2024.
What if you don't? That'd be crazy.
If
If
I don't
just
listen to
somehow.
three more,
If just somehow life makes it so that you maybe get to like 399,
like I
and then
get hit by
like
a truck and I'm in a coma.
it gets to like midnight, and you're like, I gotta listen to another album.
And then a truck comes into my room on the second floor, and I go into a coma for the next 2 months.
Crazier things have happened.
That's
People talk
true.
about dropping pianos. What if a piano jumped up?
You live in Los Angeles. Earthquakes happen.
They do.
The vibrations could cause the
Can
piano.
shoot that dirty piano that's behind
Right
our
behind.
house.
That's true.
Can
Right
shoot
into
it
my
out
window.
right into your window. Fucking knock you out.
Oh my
You don't
God.
listen to any albums.
All right. My number 10
What's your number
album.
10,
Yes.
dog?
My
Drop
number
it like it's
10.
hot.
Nope. It's not an album.
No,
It's a
I'm
song.
telling you to.
Oh. It's like not from this year. Also not an album.
But Snoop Dogg's awesome.
Snoop Dogg is awesome. Snoop Dogg got an album that came out this year.
Yeah,
And
didn't make my top
spoilers
10.
didn't make my
Spoiled,
top
yeah,
10 either, but
but
it
it
is
is
good.
awesome. Him and Jay released an album. It's really
Yeah, it's
good.
really good. A first for me. I've been doing top 10s. Even before this podcast, I was doing top 10 per year albums and just like putting them on social media since I think 2018, so like 7 years ago.
Yeah.
This is a first for a top 10 for me.
Oh.
Yes, I know. My number 10 is a first for this podcast and also my number 10s lists.
Yeah.
It is Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross's Challengers original score from the hit film Challengers.
Challengers.
Which you have not seen yet, right?
I have not seen it yet. I didn't see a lot of movies this year. I was really bad about movies this year.
I've actually found that to be true in general since moving to Los Angeles. I don't see as many movies out here, which is ironic because it's the city of movies.
It's the city of movies.
They're very expensive out here.
They're very expensive, and I just never really have the energy because LA, I think, eats you.
Yes, very true.
I think LA is slowly like yum 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 on me.
Yeah,
and I'm like
a bunch of leeches.
And I'm like the time that I do get, I'm like I don't want to go see a movie.
Yeah, 100%.
I'm gonna take a nap.
I've been working.
I'm tired.
Well, no, it doesn't help that it's very expensive. I was in Chicago. Yeah, I was in Chicago recently with my girlfriend and we saw Anora, and the price for both of us to see Anora was the cost of one movie ticket here in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
So that by itself is just
seeing a movie in Milwaukee, tickets are like $10.
Yeah. Seeing a movie in Los Angeles, for those of you who don't live here, it's like $20 to $25 in that range. Anyway.
That's why everyone goes on Tuesdays, because most theaters have deals on Tuesdays. Like, you can go to Alamo for $8.
Mm-hmm.
And then, any other day, like, a ticket to Alamo is $25.
Right. But they do serve beer and pretzels, so.
So that's pretty cool.
Funnily enough, that is where I saw Challengers, was at the Alamo Draft House.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so if you haven't seen Challengers, first of all, I highly recommend it. But even if you haven't seen Challengers,
the soundtrack
slaps. It is just this fun electro groove. Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross, for those of you who don't know somehow, are two of the most prolific, I would say, soundtrack recorders, or that composers, I guess is the correct term.
Yeah.
They also did The Social Network. That's one of their other really well-known ones. Trent Reznor... I don't think Atticus Ross, but Trent Reznor, I think, was the sole member of Nine Inch Nails. I'm not 100% sure exactly how that works.
Oh, I have no idea.
But he is the lead songwriter of Nine Inch Nails, if not the only member of Nine Inch Nails, which is how he, I think, came to musical prominence originally. Which is kind of interesting, because I wouldn't describe their soundtracks as being Nine Inch Nails-y.
Nine Inch Nails-y. But... it is very good.
Yeah.
You
listen to it?
I did listen to it.
Nice.
Yeah. We listen to it out here.
Yeah, that is like one of my go-to.
I say out here and I point as if people listening are like, yes, we know he's pointing to the living room.
We listen to it out here in Los Angeles.
In Los Angeles.
yeah, it's one of my favorite soundtracks to just pop on. Or not even soundtracks, albums to just pop on when I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
It's a very hype album.
Nice.
So that is my number 10, the Challengers original score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. Keenan.
Yeah.
What's your number 9?
Number 9, an early release into the year. We're getting some rock in right now. Number 9 is the album Fission by Dead Poets Society.
That is also my number 9.
Holy shit, really?
Yes.
Yo, that's crazy. Whoa. Yeah, that's one I'm gonna do. That album's good.
Yeah, that album is really good. It does this cool thing where the sound is almost like a hard rock verging into like a metal album.
Yeah.
But then the way the singer and just like how like the hooks are very like pop rock.
Yeah.
But it doesn't. I get kind of annoyed with pop rock because I tend to not like the instrumentation, and I just assumed I didn't like pop rock. But it turns out if you put that same singing style over, like, hard guitar riffs, I'm like, this is awesome, actually.
Yeah, dude. That album goes hard. It's fun to listen to. And I think it coming out earlier in the year weirdly did it a disadvantage. Where, like, I did this thing where, like, when it first came out, I listened to it a shit ton.
So much.
And then I lost momentum with it.
Yeah.
And I wasn't listening to it. And then I had to... I was, like, going through my albums again before we did this, and I was like, oh, yeah, this one.
There was a hot moment there where it was my favorite album of the year, but that's because it came out in January.
But, like, a lot of the songs are great. Running in Circles.
Oh, that opening thing, so hard.
Yeah, it goes, yeah, it's incredibly just energizing and electric and... hard, but like at the same time fun, and yeah,
it's like it kind of sounds like it's It sounds like almost like a throwback to the kind of like rock that was really popular when I was in like high school.
Yeah.
Almost like Silver Sun Pickups, it kind of reminds me of. It's a little bit harder than Silver Sun Pickups, but that kind of style. But it has kind of like the I'm not a huge fan, but it has kind of the mentality of like a Blink-182 song. Like it's kind of tongue in cheek
Oh,
a lot of the times.
I was thinking it's like, my brain was like, oh, what if like Linkin Park was a little better?
Oh
And
God. Canceled again.
I like Linkin Park, you know. I like that, but I like that they did the Transformers theme. I'm not gonna say I'm like a Linkin Park fan.
You are a Transformers
I
fan.
am, and you know what I've done goes hard.
Nothing more metal than Transformers.
That was so dumb, dude. There's nothing more metal than Transformers. Dude,
Right, so that
that's
was
funny.
both of our number
They're both of my number
nines.
nines.
Fission.
Vision, Dead Poets Society.
Very nice. So
You
we'll go
know,
to your
which was
number.
the name of Taylor Swift's album, right?
Dead Poet Society? Yes.
No. I know it's the tortured
The
sea salt
Ministry of
department.
Tortured
The
Poets or
Ministry of
something like
Tortured
that.
Magicians.
Can tell we're big Taylor Swift fans here.
I know.
We're gonna get canceled so many times.
Funnily enough, her album's my number one. No.
Look, okay, but brief aside here
Okay.
for Taylor Swift.
Brief aside.
It's not that I think Taylor Swift is bad. I don't think she's bad. I think she, I mean, I respect her in many ways. She's like the best-selling artist of the modern generation.
Yeah.
It is that I don't understand what is so appealing about her. Like, her fans are like Beatlemania level fans, and I don't get it. I don't
Well,
get
no,
it.
so th actually that I do get that.
Okay, what, so explain it to me then.
I mean I 'cause I talked about this before. I don't know if it was on this podcast or just to people in life or whatever. But Taylor Swift kind of has like the same appeal that like watching like wrestling does. And like the fans like get invested into the character that is Taylor Swift,
I see.
in such a way that someone would love John Cena or The Rock or
Yeah.
whatever, and you just kind of become attuned to like the little cues that they give, the little hints and clues to like bigger things, and you then get excited when they like make like the first letter of all their songs mean something.
She's part of the cultural zeitgeist now.
That's the thing. So that's what that so that I do get. I just am not a fan.
Yeah, I just
I just I'm
I don't like her
like
music
I
much.
there's some songs that I like by her, and actually her album like 1989 is my favorite album of hers. I think it's good. But
Is that the year she was born?
I had to think about it for a second, but I was like, yeah.
I would assume.
It'd be funny to just like if I just made an album called like 1931. It actually has nothing to do with the 30s.
It's just
I
called
just
that.
wanted to call it that. Maybe that was like an address.
That's like actually, funnily enough, that's kind of like the opening song of the album we just talked about. Is
Oh.
like a timestamp
Yeah.
that isn't the time length. I don't know what it's referencing.
I don't
It's
know what
not
it's
the length of the
referencing either.
song. I have no idea what it's a reference to. I have not. I've done research into it. I have no idea. I cannot find any
I don't know
information about
either.
it.
I don't know what the title means. But, you know. So that's the aside about Taylor Swift.
All right, moving on to your
Moving on
number
to
eight.
number eight. A former champion of my list.
Oh.
Number eight, releasing March 1st, 2024, it's Where's My Utopia by Yard
All
Act.
right, we're gonna get to that later because it's higher on my list.
It's higher on your
Yeah.
list. Ooh.
Not crazy higher. We'll be talking about it very soon, but
Okay.
slightly
Okay. Well, then what's
higher.
your number eight?
My number eight is JPEG Mafia's new album, I Lay Down My Life for You.
Oh, nice. That is not on my top 10.
Okay, yeah. JPEG Mafia, once again, probably the GOAT, if I'm being honest, of my top 10 lists. Every album since I have been making top 10 lists that he has released has been on my top 10 lists. The highest he's ever ranked was number one with All My Heroes Are Cornballs, which I do think is his masterpiece. But even last year, I think he had LP come out a couple years ago, which was around this area of my list. But last year, I believe both of us put Scare into Hoes.
Yeah, Scare into Hoes is my number two.
I think it was my number three. He's a great artist. Pretty much no misses, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, no, he really doesn't have any misses. He's very talented and does incredible work, and it's such a unique sound that he has that I think only he can really get away with.
Yeah, and I would say that his most recent album, I Lay Down My Life For You, is, I mean, he's not doing anything crazy on this album. It's a little bit more rock-based than I think his previous albums. He's always been kind of leaning into that rock sphere for a hip-hop artist.
Right.
I think this one probably goes the hardest into that zone. There's like hard metal guitar riffs and stuff in there, but it's mostly more JPEG doing JPEG stuff. And I'm about it. If you like JPEG Mafia, you will like this album. If you don't like JPEG Mafia, you will not like this album.
I like JPEG Mafia, and I did like that album. It did not make my top 10. But like it I would have, when we go into honorable mentions later, it would have been there, yeah. But we already talked about it here, so I probably won't mention it.
All right, that was my number 8. We're going to skip right to my number 7, because it is Yard Axe, Where's My Utopia.
Nice. Yard Axe's first album, their debut album, The Overload.
Yeah, was great album.
My number 1 the year that it came out.
It was my number 3, I believe, that year.
Yeah. So they're a little lower on the list this go around, but like we said earlier, this was a great year for music.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even think it's because their
album was bad or anything. It just was like there's so much shit out there this year. Yeah.
I do like The Overload more, but not like significantly more.
No. Yeah.
We also saw them live this year.
We did see them live, which was awesome. That great was a to see fun them live, show. Yeah. They have a great performance and magnetism on stage.
For sure. British, I feel like we're in the middle of like another British invasion right now. We'll get into this more later, but there's a lot of British artists. I mean, we may talk about this later, spoilers, but like Charlie XCX is British, and she is, I think, widely regarded as having the kind of like general consensus best album of the year with Brat. Like, I'm not saying it's my favorite album, but like I have seen that on more top, like number one in spots than any other album I've seen this year. We have this. We have another album that I will be talking about later. I will note also that unlike The Overload, I think this album has a much stronger through line.
The Overload, though, I think purposefully, and we talked about it back then, where I think like it was like a kind of a bunch of songs about like living in society now.
Yes.
Whereas like this one, I think was very like personal.
Very personal. It was
like about like him.
I think it's even not even about him, because there's this line in, I think, Blackpool
Illuminations,
where he says, he's like, he's usually talking to like his mate or like a therapist. It's not really established exactly who it is. But he says this thing, he's like, are you making this up? And he's like, well, parts of it. And I think that's kind of like this almost like meta thing where he's kind of almost talking about being a rock star, where it's like, or a songwriter is maybe a better way of putting it, where you're writing about personal stuff, but oftentimes it is not literally writing about personal stuff. Like, you're not literally talking about your life. So I do think there's a lot of stuff on that album that is like maybe exaggerated about his life.
But the whole just like theme of the album, like it's called Where's My Utopia. I think he had this illusion, the song opens with an illusion of like what it means to be a rock star, like what it means to be in the position that he has now found himself in, especially after such a successful debut album, that for the fact that it's like not really what that is, and being a rock star comes with all this bullshit that like would have just been so much simpler and if he didn't. He's gotta live with that now still, because he just is one.
Yeah, and I think he is a kid.
Yeah.
And that, as we may discuss later, for other albums, I think does a lot to artists having a child.
Having a child does. Oh, yeah.
For sure. Any other thoughts on your number 8, my number 7?
Where's My Utopia? No.
All right, in that case, great album. What is your number 7?
My number 7, we're not going to be talking about it now, because I suspect it's higher up on your list. It is releasing October 4th, 2024. It is The New Sound by Jordy Creep.
We'll be talking about that in a while. So it's your number 6.
So that is my number 7. And my number 6 we can talk about, because I don't think it's on your top 10. releasing October 28th, 2024. It is Chromacopia by Tyler, the Creator.
It is not on my top 10, no.
I loved this album. I don't think it's my favorite album of his.
What is your favorite album of his, out of curiosity?
I go back and forth between Call Me If You Get Lost and Flower Boy.
Okay. For me, it's either Flower Boy or Igor.
I like Igor a lot, too.
Yeah.
But I'm also, I've been a Tyler fan since, like...
I know. You were the one who originally got me into Tyler way back in the day. I think like, Wolf had just dropped when you first introduced me to Tyler. Like, pre-Cherry Bomb, I'm pretty sure.
No, I probably would have been Cherry Bomb. Would have been Cherry Bomb? Wolf dropped when I was in high school.
Okay, then never mind.
It was my senior year. I think it was my senior year of high school.
Yeah.
Well,
then, so it depends on when Cherry Bomb came out, then. Because I knew you your freshman year of college, so...
Right.
If there was, like, 2 years in between... Anyways, we're talking, like, old school.
But I've been, and Wolf is one of my favorite albums. I love Wolf. I think Wolf is awesome. But I think this album is really good. It's been really fun watching Tyler mature into the artist that he is now, especially like coming back, like, because I listened to Yonkers, I listened to Goblin, and to watch from the dude who ate the cockroach, to making Judge Judy.
Yeah.
And Chromacopia and this, it's like, wow, I like watching that has been fun.
Yeah.
Tyler has, we talked about this the other day, you were mentioning this with JPEG, that like he just kind of like when he releases an album, it just kind of like holds like a special place.
Yeah.
And he wins tiebreakers.
Right. Yes.
Like he's just like, oh, if I can get him on there, I will. And Tyler has that for me.
He has a very similar career trajectory to me. To the artist that I would the most compare him to is Childish Gambino. Who also had an album come out this year that is not in my top 10. I don't know about yours. No,
not in my top 10.
Yeah. He had an album come out this year, but which I think is his most mature album.
Yeah.
What is the name of it?
Heartfelt. No, Heart. It's called
Bandostone in the New World. So he has had a similar trajectory, I would say, where when he started, he wasn't quite as like crass as Tyler, but he started off with like way more like tongue in cheek. Comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And then now it's like, I mean
like you listen to Camp and like that as a child compared to
I mean that also came out what 13 years ago, so it's like he has had a literal child since then, which again
changes somebody.
And in fact Tyler talks about having children on his album.
Yeah. he had a thing where he was gonna have a kid.
He didn't.
Spoilers
as far as we know.
But
I don't know, maybe Pusha T is going to come up with a beef song against Tyler in, like, 2 years.
That'd be crazy.
And then Tyler drops, like, his kid's Jordans or whatever.
Man, Tyler in a beef would be really funny. Like,
Has he not had any beefs?
I know he's had, like, some, like, tiffs, but, like, he mainly just, like, references things on songs.
Yeah.
It hasn't been, like, any, like, beefs.
Yeah.
But I'd be very interested to see, like, how he would, like...
cope with that?
Or just, like, approach it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that's what I meant by Cope. Cope made it sound like I was like, he was like stressed out about it.
How would he emotionally handle
it? I honestly think it would be almost like, I think he's a clever enough songwriter that it would be kind of like starting a beef with Eminem, which you shouldn't do for those of you out there thinking about it. Don't start a beef with Eminem.
Yeah, I know all of you are thinking about
it. You're all like, what about Eminem?
I'm a target Eminem. all the rappers.
Everybody has lost. Nobody has ever successfully beaten Eminem.
Yeah.
Because the problem with Eminem is that Eminem is already Eminem's worst enemy. So no matter what you do to Op,
that shit at the end of 8 Mile was real.
He was like,
I am white. I am a fucking bum. He was like,
he made a whole movie that culminates in him shitting on himself, and somebody thinks they can start a beef with that guy.
Yeah, he's like,
he won an Oscar,
and he wasn't even there. He was asleep.
Yeah. No, you can't beat Eminem.
You can't.
And I don't know that Tyler's at that level, but I do think that Tyler is a very clever, gentleman.
Yes. A clever gentleman.
Who could definitely beat the shit out of anybody trying to beef with him, with a few exceptions.
Yeah.
I actually think Pusha T would be one of the exceptions.
Fair. I love Chromacopia. There's a lot of fun songs on there. That I super enjoyed, like Hey Jane. Oh, there's also just some shit that goes really hard. Ra-ta-ta-ta, Noid, Sticky. Thought I Was Dead, Balloon featuring Doechii.
We will be talking about her. That woman later.
But yeah, dude, the album's great. I had a lot of fun, and like the more I listened to it, the more it like really grew on me. And I actually suspect this is going to be an album, just because I listen to Tyler a lot, that like going forward, like next year, when you're like, oh, what album are you still listening to from last year?
Yeah.
This will probably be one of them, you know?
Yes.
So yeah, that's my number six, Chromacopia, Tyler the Creator.
Quick shout out to our roommate Malcolm, who featured heavily in the music video for St. Chroma off of that album.
Yeah.
Just, you know, to give credit where credit's due.
Yeah, yeah. Front man for that.
The front man for that, yeah. All right, that was your number six.
My number six.
I will say my number six, but I have a strong suspicion that we're going to be talking about it later. My number six is Kendrick Lamar's GNX.
That is actually my number five.
Well, do we want to wait on this and do a quick little break then, and we'll come back and talk about your number five?
Yeah. I'm trying to think, is that how the numbers work?
Yeah, because you went through six.
Because my number
six. This is the exact split.
Okay. All right, yeah. So then, yeah. You do that.
Cool. Well, we'll be back in a moment. Here's a fake advertisement for something that doesn't exist.
Hey, thank you so much for listening to Gibson & Galloway Present, our top 10 albums of 2024. If you are listening to this, that means you are probably a part of a specific audience demographic, and it's an audience demographic that would love my butt. So, if you do love my butt, if you have any interest in my butt, touching my butt, seeing my butt, anything involving my butt, go ahead, leave us a comment, like, rate, subscribe, do all that crap, and then you could do something with my butt, maybe. I don't know. Sounds weird on paper, but hey, I promise for a lucky fan out there, it will be worth it. Have some fun with Keenan's butt. And that's the advertisement. If anyone wants to give us an actual ad spot, you know, let us know. But until then, it's going to be more ads about my butt. So, Gibson & Galloway present Keenan's butt.
We're back.
We sure are.
I'm excited to hear whatever commercial Keenan popped in there.
Yeah, dude.
Because I don't know what it is.
It's a good one. But I had a piece of popcorn chicken in my mouth just now.
From where?
From Beer Garden.
Oh, nice. Is their popcorn chicken good? I've never gotten it there.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
I usually get their poutine.
I thought about that, but I wanted something with some meat.
You can get their poutine with
I want something hearty. So I got some popcorn chicken.
Bulgogi, I think they have on there. They have like a bulgogi poutine. Hmm. Beer Garden, for those of you who don't know, which is probably most of you, is a local gastropub that we have that's like a combination like Korean-German place, yeah. Which sounds crazy, but is actually
fire. It actually works pretty well. Yeah. Yeah. It works pretty well. It's very tasty. So yeah, we're back now, and we are on...
Your number five, my number six.
Right, which is GNX by Kendrick Lamar, which was released November 22nd, 2024.
I think this is the latest, I think this is the most recent, I should say, album of the year to make it into my top ten.
This is, yeah, for me too.
This is his sixth?
Although I do have quite a bit that came out, like October, just looking at my thing. Like September, October seems to be a big month for me.
Hmm.
across the board.
So GNX is Kendrick Lamar's, I believe, sixth album. Official, like, not... Depending on how you feel about Section 80 as an album versus a mixtape. I think some people argue that that's his first album, and some people argue that Good Kid, Mad City is his first album.
Yeah.
But it is his sixth album. Coming on the back of... the biggest news in music this year.
The rap beef of probably this century.
Yeah, I would say of this century for at least, if not ever.
Yeah, between Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
Yes.
Which took over all of social media, took over the news, took over music as a whole.
Yes.
Like, it was, like, the thing that everyone was talking about.
Which has been sort of a underground beef for, like, 10 years.
Right.
Since Good Kid, Mad City, actually.
Which it was just now brought to light in a very aggressive way.
Arguably, the beginning of this beef, I would say, is King Kunta.
Yeah.
It's not overt, but he references ghostwriting. And for those of you who don't know, he is referencing Drake being on Poetic Justice
and using a ghostwriter.
Which Kendrick is not a fan of. It's actually funny because I was looking at the Grammy nominations earlier today in preparation for this, and Kendrick has been nominated for Not Like Us, which I'm sure all of you have heard, which is the arguably culminating moment in this beef.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because like Drake released a response.
The
Heart Part 6, which is finally a song on this album, GNX.
Which I actually think that the way that Kendrick did The Heart Part 6 on this album is genius, because it's so heartfelt. It's nothing about the beef at all. It's just like him talking about his life and how he became a musician, essentially.
Yeah.
But Kendrick, what was interesting looking at the Grammys is that like a lot of the other things, a lot of music in general, it's like you have multiple songwriters. And Not Like Us is just Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
There are no other songwriters listed on it. Which is just an interesting little fun little
interesting
fact.
Little thing. The Not Like Us was really like the nail in the coffin, though, of that beef, I think. I mean, like, it's like, I bet they still don't like each other.
Yeah.
but it's not like, that was like the end of like it being like the social. But actually it really still is going on, because like you said, Not Like Us is nominated for Grammys, and it's like one of the most popular songs almost ever.
This is the year of Kendrick Lamar flexing.
Yeah.
Even like, this album is basically a giant flex.
Being like, no, I'm actually like, guys, I'm goated.
Yeah. And if you don't respect that, I don't respect you.
Yeah. Like, for real.
Who also got nominated for Best Composer, Mustard.
For what?
Multiple stuff. I didn't know this about the Grammys, but then when they do composers, they get nomination. It's the specific category is composer non-classical, I believe, is what it's called, or producer non-classical. Okay. It's one of those two things. And they get you can get nominated for multiple songs. So like Mustard got nominated for Not Like Us is one of them. The song that he did with, I believe, Travis Scott was another one, and then he did a song off of his album that came out this year, which was pretty good. But didn't make it in my top 10. It's kind of hard for like a producer album to make it into my top 10.
Yeah, there was like one album, I think it was by Calvin Harris, like 2 years
mm-hmm,
ago,
mm-hmm.
that I was considering because it was like pretty good.
I know which one you're talking about. It had the Dua Lipa song on it. Potion.
But yeah, no, this album's got a lot of GNX. Has a lot of just like fun little like earworms that like get stuck in my head. So like, this is again going to be another album that I think I'm going to find myself continuing to listen to. Like once the year is done, like into the next year, just because I enjoyed so much of it and I have fun listening to it. TV Off is great.
Oh yeah, TV Off, also known as Not Like Us Part 2.
Not Like Us, not about a person.
Yeah.
Hey, what if I did Not Like Us, but it just wasn't about Drake?
That's
TV Off.
Complete with the Mustard.
Yeah.
Production.
Exactly. Peekaboo.
My favorite song on the album is Reincarnated.
Reincarnated, which I think is a
throwback to his older sound.
Who Kendrick is,
actually, as an artist, really. I was listening to this album last night, and I was thinking about, so when his previous album, Mr. Brown, the Big Steppers, came out, I remember a lot of people thought that he was retiring from music. They were like, he's just going to go into fashion, he's done with music, which seems hilarious in retrospect, given the beef from this year.
Right.
But then I was thinking about how, in some ways, that was kind of like the end of a certain era, I suspect, for Kendrick. There was like this whole, like every, that album and all of his previous work are all very like conscious rap albums.
Yeah.
And like
through in, lines and stories.
Yeah.
And
various degrees of like introspection or extrospection, yeah, whatever you want to call
and,
it.
And personal revealings. And
then GNX is him doing like a kind of like straight up like old school West Coast hip hop album.
Yeah. I love the song GNX.
I think it's my least favorite song on the album.
No, dude, that song's great. Tell him Kendrick did it. Hey, who showed you how to run a blitz? Tell
him I think Kendrick that did. I respect that album. I mean, I respect that song a lot because he features a lot of like not known West Coast rappers on it.
He's like, all right, this is your
moment.
Because like he doesn't really even have a verse on it. He just does the hook.
Yeah. This is like that time that Danny Brown pulled Killer Mike to do a song in like a posse song, and then Killer Mike just does the hook. It's like, okay.
It's fun.
But yeah. Sorry, I said Danny Brown. That was Freddie Gibbs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, Pasta.
Oh yeah, I think it's actually off of Bandana. You're talking about Alfredo.
Alfredo.
Yeah.
That's what that album
Pasta.
Oh yeah, Pasta. No, I'm just remembering Pasta. I'm just thinking about noodles.
I saw this hilarious meme the other day that was like, it was like this beautiful landscape, and it was like The Alchemist and Madlib creating gorgeous beats only for Freddie Gibbs to come on it and admit to 20 felonies.
Like awesome beats, and then Freddie Gibbs is like, one time I stabbed someone
and that time was yesterday.
I did it for fun.
This is the location of the body if anybody was curious.
And you're like, damn it, Freddie.
Freddie Gibbs also had a beef this year that nobody talked about.
He
had beef with Benny the Butcher of Griselda.
That's right.
And he was in Buffalo and got jumped. Which isn't funny. That's not funny. No, but it's just like,
but like,
there's like, this is what I mean though. Is like, there's beefs like Drake and Kendrick where they're like, I'm gonna say some mean words, and then there's beefs like Freddie Gibbs and Benny the Butcher where they're like, no, if you show up
I'm assaulting you.
You're fucked.
Yeah. For he's doing the Super Bowl.
Yes, he is doing the Super Bowl.
He's in the Super Bowl,
which Lil Wayne was mad as fuck about.
Yeah, I mean, Kendrick says it. He said, "Do the Super Bowl, and Nas the only one congratulate me."
Yeah.
His hard work let Lil Wayne down.
I know. Who he used to look up to.
He used to look up to.
He also humbled
Snoop
Dogg. He used
to bump the
Cardi
3.
Yeah, he did.
He does that.
That's also, these are just lines.
I used to bump the Cardi 3. Let my little roller down. Irony, I think my hard work let Lil Wayne down.
All right. Okay, that was my number six.
And my number five.
And your number five.
What was your number five?
My number five, we mentioned it already, or I did at least, is Charlie XCX's newest release, Brat.
Great album. Did not make my top 10.
Didn't make your top 10?
No.
Crazy.
I know. It was... So, it was one of the albums I was, like, really considering, and I, like, listened to it again, but I just was, like, I had to then do it based off the numbers. Like, what did I actually listen to more of? And, you know, because I listened to it and I thought it was good. And I listened to it again and it was, like, fine. But I only listened to it, like, 3 times.
Oh, okay. I've listened to it a lot of times. a lot of times. I've listened to it. The one I'm considering, by the way, is the original release, Brat. Because then there was, like, Brat, but it's the same. But it's actually different because there's 3 extra songs. And then there was also, like, Brat Remixes that has another name.
Yeah. There's a few... Brat iteration.
They were talking about like with Beyonce and Cowboy Carter, how like a lot of the marketing was a thing. When she released Brat, all the streaming services changed all the artwork from her previous albums to match the Brat style, which I just thought was like a cool, clever little marketing.
Yeah,
thing.
The marketing for Brat was incredible.
Yeah,
like I mean, there's a reason it became like
internet meme.
We have Brat Summer.
Yeah.
Like, people are, like, using that to describe themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And we were talking earlier about Yard Act and how personal it was. I think Brat is a very personal album. There's, like, a lot of rep. I mean, directly, not even, like, she's, like, kind of, like, beating around the bush on it type stuff. She does a little bit. Like, there's references. The song, Girl So Confusing, is, I believe, about Lord, but she doesn't explicitly state that. Or, like, the song, So I, is about her relationship with now-deceased music producer and musician Sophie. Mm. And she also has a song, Talk Talk, that's about her fiancé, George something. I think his name is George.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah, George R. R. Martin. I don't actually know if his name is George. I might be making that up. But I know it's about her fiance.
Okay.
But yeah, this is an album that I can very easily recommend to pretty much anybody. Yeah,
easy recommendation.
I love the way that it opens and closes with basically two versions of the same song. I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice little opener-closer type
thing. Another album that did that this year, because I remember really liking that about something else. But I don't remember what it is off the top of my head, so I'm not even going to spend the time to create dead air thinking about it.
So that was my number five, Charlie X.
Great album. I would recommend that album to anybody, too.
What is your... You did your number five already, right? Yeah, so what's your number four?
Number four. We may or may not be talking about this later. We shall see. But releasing October 25th, 2024, it is 10 Modern American Work Songs by Saint Lennox.
Well, we actually have two on the spot, same rankings, because that is also my number four.
Is your number four?
Yeah, Saint Lennox's 10 Modern American Work Songs.
Man, that's crazy.
What was it? It was that and Dead Poets Society that we hit in the same spot? Dead Poets Society
hit the same spot. Number nine and number
four. I think we might have a lot of... Looking at my top three, I'm like, I think we might have a lot of...
The top three might be
similarness. Anyways, we're talking about number four right now. We haven't hit podium yet.
Yeah, we're not on the podium yet. 10 Modern American Work Songs, Saint Lennox. This album, we actually talked about it personally before we even started recording this. It just, like, this is an album that, like, fluctuated so much on my list.
Yeah.
Where, like, because it's so specific.
Very particular.
Which, actually, funnily enough, that kind of goes into how I separated my top 10 and how I ended up putting the list together. I was like, oh, so I kind of see all these albums I'm considering are in, like, three categories. There's, like, rap, there's rock, and there's...
Other.
Sound. There's, like...
If I had to compare this album to a genre, I would say it's almost like a show tunes, sort of, yeah. But not really, but kind of. His voice is very, like, classically trained.
Yeah. It kind of fulfills this album gives me like shades of like last year's like Max Champion album.
Yes, I way prefer this one, but yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, no, I prefer this one. Like,
this is not nearly as into the show tunes category as that album is.
That one. Yeah, Max Champion presents What a Racket or something.
Yeah.
No, but, and there's songs on this album that, like, just hit.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You, like, you're just listening, and it'll be, like, the right moment, and, like, I'll just have, like, a tear in my eye.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Lyrae Caverns, I have that with.
Yeah.
That also is, like, a particularly interesting song to me, because I grew up in Virginia, and Lyrae Caverns is, like, a cavern system in Virginia that I've been to many times. On literally the exact type of vacation he's talking about, except not with my husband, like he is, with my family. Kalahari, I find, like, it's actually not, like, a super sad song or anything, but, like, just the way he sings it and the music to it, I find very, like, touching.
I like Rudy. I like Quasi.
When he's talking to his nephew?
Yeah, Drunk Uncle Advice.
I should note that this album is it's got a subtitle. And I don't want to fuck up what it's called, but it has a subtitle. It's called
New York Speaks Softly at Night. That's not the name of the subtitle.
The subtitle is in honor of the 10-year reunion of the NYU law class of 2014, which Saint Lennox was a member of. Oh. So this is like a very autobiographical. Actually, all of his albums I learned are autobiographical. And oh man, do I respect that he sticks to this 10 song thing. He's just like, every single one of his albums is 10 songs about a thing in his life. And he always, technically this is an 11 song album because it opens with a like eulogy.
Yeah.
But it is really 10 actual songs. And I think that's like such a, first of all, I think 10 songs is the correct amount of songs for an album.
Oh, yeah.
Second of all, I like that he's an artist who has like, he's like, this is the limitations that I'm setting for myself.
Yes, this is my lane.
And I'm going to do these.
Yes, do not get in my lane. This is my lane. Yeah. I will not be in yours. His voice is very specific, and I don't know, because there were days I just didn't feel like listening to this album. Because I was like, I don't want to hear that sound.
He has this like warble that he does on a lot of his songs. Yeah, it's like it's good. I mean, it doesn't sound bad, but it can be. There are definitely I agree. There are definitely days where I'm like
auditorily exhausting.
Yes, this album is lush.
Yeah,
very lush album.
Yeah,
full of sounds.
I mean, that's why he's like, that's why it's this number of songs, because each song is like, though they're not even all that long, they're like dense with like feelings and specificities, and just like like everything is like in the specific place that it's supposed to be. So then like it is like dense as a song.
I will note, this is the album that I had to look up the most words I didn't know listening to it. He says a lot of words in this album that I did not know.
And you're like, huh?
What does that mean?
And you're like, you go to law school or something? but yeah, that's my number 4. 10 modern American work songs.
It's also my number 4.
Yeah.
All right. Which brings us to your number 3.
We're on the podium, baby.
It's podium time.
Presenting the medals. And getting my bronze medal, getting my number 3 spot, is the album Invader by Regurgitator.
Interesting.
Releasing April 26th, 2024.
That did not make my top 10, but it is in my honorable mentions.
Oh man, I love this album.
I did too. Don't
I
get
listened
me wrong.
To it the first time and I was like, man, dude, Cocaine Runaway, the opening is great. Pest, Epic is an epic song.
Oh yeah.
Like that.
I think that the biggest compliment I can give this album is that it is so wide in style, and it does all of it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
But it's doing like, it hits like 7 genres.
It hits so much, and I'm like, I dig it. I dig it because it all still, like, despite it sounding different, all feels of the same piece.
Yeah.
In such a way that I enjoy. I have fun listening to this album, and it was an album that also surprised me in how high it ended up ranking.
Yeah.
Because I was like, it was an album that I was like, well, this is going to make the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
When I was thinking about it like a week ago or so.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know where it fell. And then as I was like looking at my list last night, I was like, oh shit, I think
it's number 3.
I think it's going to get number 3. I love this album. So yeah. That is, there's a lot of fun stuff. This is not a pop song. It's like one of my favorite songs of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. It goes bang, bang, bang inside your head. It goes bang, bang, bang.
It's not a pop song.
They like also do that thing. We were talking about this earlier with GNX, but that album is also full of those little, like,
Earworm
quirks. That just,
like, I think about a specific moment in a song, and then I'm like, oh, I want to listen to that song. And then listening to that song, I'm like, well, I should just listen to the album.
All 3 of my top albums have that quality to them. Yeah.
Yeah, same. Same. All the albums that I'm about to list going forward have, which are just 2 more after this.
Yes. Which also, so I believe that Regurgitator is like a pretty, I believe they're pretty old. Like, I think they've been around for like 20-ish years or so. They're an Australian band, by the way, for those of you who've never heard of them. I had never heard
which
of them before this
I
year.
Seem to have, I love Australian, because like last year we had a Hoo-Ha.
Bad Dreams, yeah. Bad Dreams, Hoo-Ha.
Bad Dreams, Hoo-Ha-Ha.
I for whatever reason in my head, I always want to call it Mansfield 6.0, but that's just the name of
on the album. but yeah, that's my number 3, Invader by Regurgitator. Rock, pop, funk, jazz,
rap,
album.
It's everything. It does everything. It doesn't have classical, I guess. Otherwise, maybe not country even, but...
Sammy Rae did an album like that this year, which she's not on my top 10 spoilers. I don't even know Sammy Rae and Friends.
Somehow I missed this.
Oh, she's great. Her album's called Something for Everybody, and it just goes through so many genres. Which she actually, funnily enough, does have my song of the year. My favorite song this year.
Putting this on my missed songs playlist.
Even though her album didn't make my top 10, but Cool Dug at Night is, I think, my song of the year. It's just like one of my favorite songs to listen to.
I have a bunch of saved songs from her, EP from a couple years ago.
Oh, like you probably have Good Life. Talk It Up.
Talk It Up. The Good Life, The Feeling. I have all those saved.
No, I love Sammy Rae. She's got such a unique voice, and she's awesome. I discovered her when I was in Australia.
Nice. Is she Australian?
No.
Oh, you were there.
I was there.
Understandable.
And I was like, whoa. And then I just been listening to her since.
Sick.
My time there was very strange in a way that I'm like, oh, it feels like I was kind of removed from life.
Yeah.
And then I had to do something else for like 4 months. And then...
You came back and the world was in a pandemic.
Yeah, I feel like I got like...
You got transported to a different dimension.
Kind of. It kind of feels like... Like, what if I'd never gone to Australia? Would there have even been a pandemic? Yes.
Little did we know it was all Keenan. It was all my fault, or whatever, but it was Keenan.
And I was like, oh man, me playing with some quokkas.
Did you play with quokkas?
I did.
That's awesome.
It was great.
I'm sure. They're so cute.
They're so fucking cute, dude. Where were we?
My number three. Unless there's anything else you want to say about Regurgitator's Invader.
It's fun. Listen to it.
Great album artwork, too.
Yeah.
Okay, my number three is Doechii's Alligator Bites Never Heal.
We'll talk about it later.
All right, we will talk about that later. So that brings us to your number two.
My number two is releasing February 23rd, 2024. It is Amigo the Devil's Yours Until the War.
This is also my number two.
Over. Holy shit, dude. We have three? That's gotta be the most. First time
this has ever happened.
That's gotta be the most.
This is also my number two, is Amigo the Devil's Yours Until the War.
I love this album.
This is great.
And like,
he's such a wonderful storyteller.
He's such a great storyteller.
Almost every song on this album, I think. Maybe every single song in this album, with the exception possibly of the closer, is essentially kind of like a self-contained narrative piece. Yeah. And all of them are like beginning, middle, end, with the exception of, what is it called? The Texaco one.
Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time, Texaco, part one. There's no part two
yet. There's no part two yet. And I'm like, oh my gosh. So which I'm like, he needs to release another album because I bet part two is going to be on there. But no, this album is, he's such a great, like, I want to sit at like a campfire and listen to him sing songs.
Yeah. He probably comes up with crazy ass stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm Going to Heaven is like bonkers crazy.
Also like on the podium for my song of the year.
I think it might be my song of the year.
I'm Going to Heaven. It's just so fun and the narrative of it is great. And yeah,
it's like a murder ballad after the murder.
Yeah.
Like, it takes place entirely after death.
And it's, like, about the emotional consequences.
Yeah, this is not as easily recommendable as an album. No. I think it's also, because it's also in, like, it's like a folk album. Yeah. It's like folk rock, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
So it's definitely not for everybody, but if you like storytelling in your music,
this is the album that you should listen to. Albums
goes hard.
The guitar riffs go pretty crazy, like on a lot of the stuff.
There's a lot of like hooks on it.
A lot of good hooks.
Just like
and then like fun lines too, like when like in I'm Going to Heaven, when he's like, and you know a kingdom without the king is just dumb.
Yeah,
I'm like,
how did nobody ever say that before?
And like, you know, somebody has, but I never heard it, and that's awesome.
Yeah, he does a lot of, like, he, again, this is what we were talking about earlier, there's a lot of these, like, little, like, quirks, like verbal or, like, auditory quirks. Like, at the end of that song, it does this thing where they're, like, he's, like, laughing, and they, like, overimpose, like, a way toned down version of the laugh over it, so it sounds like it's him and, like, the devil laughing at the same time. Stuff like that. He just has, like, a very, like, colorful
And everything style. Also, like, we were talking about in the St. Lennox album, and honestly, just, like, all these albums, everything is in its place. Everything is so specific, so that he can tell these stories the way that he wants to tell them.
Exactly.
I also love that his name is Amigo the Devil.
Like, friend the devil. I mean, it's dark. It's interesting because it's not dark in a way where it's, like, depressing or morbid. It is kind of morbid, but it's, like, it's all very fun.
Yeah.
I think the least fun song on the album is probably The Mechanic, which is just kind of like a sad love song.
Yeah. Garden of Leaving.
Leaving is pretty sad. And Closer, too. Which is the closer.
Yeah.
God, like Stray Dog, like, that chorus. And a living like a stray dog. Yeah, it's just like so good. Trying to
find his way home. but then you, like, put that against, like, songs like One Day at a Time. Where he's like, he has this line that gets stuck in my head. He goes, I'm at Applebee's blacking out. Yeah. And I'm like, what? Where are you at an Applebee's blacking out, man?
He also is clearly, like, doing so many references to other artists, I would say, in the same vein. Like, the second song on the album, It's All Gone, has such a Tom Waits vibe to it. Yeah. Like, the way he sings is so Tom Waits coded. And that, I would actually say Tom Waits is probably the closest artistic comparison I would make
this,
in terms of both the way that he composes and also the types of songs that he writes. I have not looked into this, but I would be very surprised if Amigo the Devil is not heavily influenced by Tom Waits.
No, he definitely is.
Alright.
That's my number two.
That was also my number two.
The Silver Medal Winner. War is Over by Amigo the Devil.
Which brings us to our number one albums, which we have actually both already mentioned.
I'll start with mine.
Which was my number three.
And it is Alligator Bites Never Heal by Doechii.
Yes, I would agree. This is definitely the rap album of the year.
Rap album of the year. She is also just an artist that has matured so much, like, in such a short amount of time, too.
I wasn't really aware of her very much before this. I'm not on, like, TikTok enough. I know she was, like, big TikTok
star. I had, like, some of her songs, like, sent to me.
Yeah.
Like, and it was, like, fun stuff. It was, like, enjoyable. But this was, it's put together so well. It's also, like, so personal. And, like, she's kind of doing a similar thing. Actually, funnily enough, thematically, it's, I think, kind of similar to, like, Yard Axe album.
Yes.
Where there is, like, this illusion of, like, what it will be like to be in famous. A position. But mm-hmm. And then you have to, like, deal with all this other shit. And it's about, like, the emotional capacity and weight that comes with being in the position that she is now in. And she then uses, like, reflections of her past to then demonstrate how she's feeling now.
It's also, like, super about home. Funny.
It's so funny.
I really love an artist, especially a rap artist, who can be funny without being, like, a comedian. Like, for example, the song Boom Bap, I think, is so funny.
Boom Bap, Bap, Bap.
Bappity Rap, Rap. It's like, it's such a tongue-in-cheek way of being like, they wanted me to be a real rapper, so here's my Boom Bap song. It's like, such a, like, fuck you kind of song.
I love, also, like, the little, like, vocal interludes that, like, were like, you want some boiled peanuts?
Oh, yeah.
Fuck is a boiled peanut? Boom, boom, boom. Like, and then, like, goes into the, or, like, when she gets, like, the voicemail, like, her, like, when, like, she gets the call. She's yeah. Like, we recording right now.
The entire song, Denial is a River, kind of works like that, where it's, like, her talking to, again, not clear if it's her therapist or her buddy, one or the other.
Herself.
Or herself, or, like, inner ego. Just, oh, God, such a, I mean, there's a reason why it's my number three and my favorite rap album of the year.
Yeah, it was
endlessly listenable. I listened to it on my way to work yesterday because I was doing a bunch of this, like trying to listen to stuff.
And that's kind of, I just found myself listening to it a bunch to where, like, when I was putting together this list, I was like, well, it's this. This is my number one album of the year.
Yeah.
I listened to it the most. I think it is incredible. Like, personally, and I'm just seeing everywhere, everyone's like, this is the rap album of the year. Like,
I think people, yeah, consider it, it's been this or GNX, I think, is pretty much everybody's.
Yeah.
Which is actually so interesting because I saw this interview with her on, I want to say, Joe Budden's podcast the other day. I think it was Joe Budden's podcast. Where she was talking about, like, he was like, what do you want to achieve? And she's like, I just want to be able to rap like Kendrick Lamar. Like, I just think that he's such a, like, I want to be able to do what he does.
And Kendrick has actually praised Doechii.
Well, she's signed with TDE.
He's like, been like, she's the hard, she's like the hardest in the game right now.
Yeah. Kind of similar to Amiga the Devil. Her singing style is so tremendously ranged.
Yeah.
Like, the way that, like, Boiled Peanuts chorus sounds to the way that, like, Death Roll sounds. Or, like, mm-hmm. It almost could be two different people.
Yeah. I listen to this album a lot at the gym.
Nice.
It's a nice gym album. Yeah, that's my number one album, my gold medal, Alligator Bites Never Heal.
His favorite album of 2024.
By Doechii.
Cool. My number one album of the year. And my favorite album for a while, probably not even this year. This is going to be one that I think
sticks with you.
Sticks with me, is going to end up very high on my list of albums. Is Jordy Greep's The New Sound, which was your, what, number seven?
Number seven.
Yeah, so for those of you who aren't familiar, which is probably most people, not even just listening to this podcast in general, he used to be part of a British band called Black Midi that broke up earlier this year. So that he could make this album. I'm pretty sure, because he has at least one other member of the group on this album, but it's not really a rock album.
No.
I wouldn't even classify it as a rock album.
No, it's like jazz.
It's kind of a jazz rock album. Ironically, it's called The New Sound, but it's not really like new sounds. Like, it's a lot of classic kind of sounds put together in like a new way.
Like, yeah. Arranged in new ways.
Yes, arranged in new styles.
You know what I mean.
So catchy. Such a catchy album. Yeah. Jordy Greep has a very particular sound to him. I wouldn't describe it as a wide-ranging sound. It's kind of a particular sound, but it's great. And I, again, going to what we've been talking about, like, all the three of my top three albums this year have been very funny, but not comedies.
Right.
Generally, the new sound has the craziest lines of anything I've listened to this year.
Yeah,
there are lines on this album that I was like, I want you to slap me when I say your pussy is holy, and it's like, that's a crazy, crazy line.
You've got a bigger dick than any man who's ever, and you can come more than 100 stallions.
What the fuck? Do you know what courage looks like? Have you seen a woman give birth to a goat? That's what courage looks like.
That's what courage looks like. His voice also sounds so specific on this album.
He
does this, like, ha ha. He's got, I don't even know how to describe
it. He's got a beautiful singing voice. It is also so British.
Yeah.
Like, it is so British.
That's definitely the way Yard acted the first time I heard him. I was like,
yeah.
Y'all are British, dude.
Yeah, I'm not trying to hide that. It's not like Arctic Monkeys in the modern age.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not trying to hide this shit.
Arctic Monkeys. Oh, you mean David Bowie split up into a bunch of different people?
Yes, that is what I mean. A lot of this album revolves around prostitutes, which is an interesting theme to choose.
Prostitutes. Sex working and just sex in general, kind
of very much just sex in general. Desire, I would say, is a strong theme of this album. And then it closes with a cover of a little known Frank Sinatra song, who I would say, even though I don't know if you'd get that listening to this album necessarily, I would say Frank Sinatra seems like a huge influence on Jordy Greep. Like, he definitely seems like he's trying to be like
crooner,
Sinatra for the 21st century type thing. So that is my number one album of the year.
It's a great album, dude. There's a lot of fun stuff on it, and I enjoyed it, too.
I'm extremely excited for what happens for him next.
I wish I could have put it higher. The problem this year, like, realistically, my top eight, I seriously thought about doing this. It's just like putting all of my albums in like a hat.
And then just pulling
it. And being
it.
Like, my number 10 is this one. Until I got to number one. And be like, this is what the universe said. But like putting like the 10 albums in just like a hat and like not caring about the order. And just being like, these are just... Because that's really how I feel about my top 10 this year. Is that I feel like there are just like, they're all like really fucking good.
I would section mine into like three. Like, the new sound is my clear number one. Then the next like five-ish albums are like all kind of interchangeable for second through whatever that is, sixth place. And then like my bottom kind of like four albums, I would say, are all kind of interchangeable with each other.
Yeah, my like, I would say, no, I would say like my top eight are all like...
interchangeable. What was your number 10?
Number 10 was The Vandalist by Nobody
Right, Erase. Right.
Which, the other album that was I was considering for my number 10 was...
Oh, yeah, you didn't say.
I didn't mention it. And this gets the highest of honorable mentions. Essentially my number 11. Uranium Club's Infants Under the Bulb.
That's a great album. I would put that in my honorable mentions. I just didn't listen to it enough that I would have felt comfortable putting it in my top 10.
I found myself listening to it a bunch. I liked it a lot. It kind of actually, they did this thing where they kind of remind me of like the direction I wish the Front Bottoms took.
Interesting.
And this is what that sound is, and I really like it. And I think it's just like a smart, but also like really funny album. So that was my like number 11. Some other albums that like,
yeah,
I
give
really,
us your honorable mentions
that I want to give out honorable mentions to find... the Idols album.
Great.
Tank. I love Idols a lot.
Great band.
They're fun. They probably honestly have like number 12 right now, 12 or 13, because I another honorable mention, Shannon and the Clams.
That's in my honorable
the
mentions
in the
as
wrong
well.
Place.
That was almost in my top 10.
That was
one of the ones that got cut.
Yeah.
The two albums that I cut, because I had basically 12 and I was trying to cut it down to 10. The other two albums that didn't make it were Shannon and the Clams and Remy Wolf's Big Ideas. So those are like my
toppest honorable mentions. Fucking Andre 3000, give a shout out to
nominated
him.
For album of the year.
Yeah.
For his flute album.
Which was an album I did listen to that album a bunch. Just kind of like it was my alarm for a bit. Like that's how I'd wake up.
That's a pleasant way to wake up.
It's
a very pleasant album.
Yeah,
I would describe that. That's my main adjective for it, is pleasant.
And I really enjoyed it. For some reason, I felt weird about being like, this will be in my top 10. And also, like, I listened to it when I was like, oh, I got a little too high and just went to go to bed. And, like, that's how I listened to it.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't know if I want to put that on my top 10. Just for, like, Billie Eilish album was good. Never really, I don't think, was going to make my top 10, but, like...
I think it's a return to form for her, at least.
Yeah.
I didn't like her second album very much. I love her first album. First album made my top 10 that year.
Oh, yeah. I think her album that year... What was it, 2019?
Something like that.
I think, arguably, I wasn't doing top 10s then, but I think would have been probably my album of the year that year.
Interesting. I think it was, like, number 6 or 7 for me. That was the year that All My Heroes Are Cornballs came out, and that was my album.
Oh, no, I think Igor would have been my album of the year that year.
Igor was great. I think Igor was in my top 10 that year, too.
But, yeah, I had a similar thing where I had, like, 13 or 14 albums eventually, and I had to be like, okay, I gotta cut, like, 3 or 4 of these.
Yeah.
But I told you the other day, my playoffs, because I did playoffs, which Billie Eilish did make it to playoffs.
Nice.
there was, like, 20 albums, 2024. There was like 20 to 24 albums.
I have my list right now. I had 22 albums that were in contention.
The Gambino album made it to playoffs. What else made it to the playoffs? Fucking the Michael Giacchini album.
The jazzy covers of all of his songs.
Yeah, dude. That fucking, I was like,
I listen to that album a lot.
I listen to it a bunch. It's a great driving album.
Yeah.
Oh my god, dude. I was driving around Milwaukee listening to that shit. Like,
It was kind of a crazy concept for an album, too.
The Lemon Twigs.
Great album. That didn't quite make it into my...
They made it to playoffs. They
didn't quite make it to my playoffs. But that's a fantastic album. A return to old school rock and roll.
The Tierra Whack album.
That did make it in my playoffs. Worldwide Whack. Love Tierra Whack.
Loved it. The Chicano Batman album.
That's also really good. Didn't quite make it in my playoffs, but great album.
Les Impératrices, the French album.
Also didn't make it in my playoffs, but also a great album.
The Green Day album.
I didn't listen to it.
You didn't even listen to it?
I didn't even listen to the Green Day album.
Why?
I don't really like Green Day. Also, if I'm being honest with you, I didn't even know it came out. Actually, I probably did. Let's see if I did.
It came out so early in the year, though. You should at least listen to it.
I just don't like Green Day, though. Wait, Green Day?
Yeah.
Oh, Saviors? Oh, I did. Okay, never mind.
You didn't listen to it?
I didn't listen to the whole album, but I did. It was on my, like, New Music Friday for that, yeah. Whatever it was. Again, I don't know, like, Green Day.
We're giving a lot of opinions
on this podcast.
We don't like Wicked. We don't like Green Day.
I just
we
want green
don't
stuff.
Like Taylor Swift. People are going to be like, we fucking hate those guys. We hate those
top
guys.
Top album is the new sound. You know what the fuck that is?
Yeah. I want old sounds. Yeah, I want to hear songs from the tortured fire department.
Tortured fire department. Some of my other honorable mentions, Kali Uchi's album, Orquídeas. Future Islands, People Who Aren't There Anymore.
Oh, Future Islands. I like that album a lot.
The Smiles. First, they came out with two albums this year. Their first album, Wall of Eyes. For those of you who don't know, The Smile is made up of like half of Radiohead. And kind of seems like, I don't know that Radiohead's ever going to do another album. So I think what we're going to get is more Smile stuff. Molly Lewis's On the Lips, which is a unique album in the sense that it is just whistling. It's not just whistling, but it's like a whistling album, which is cool. You don't hear that a lot. What else do I have? Bolas Pupil's Letter to You. Bolas Pupil was part of one of my favorite albums with him and Charlotte Adigeri. He was the producer half, and okay. He had a solo album this year. Dua Lipa's album, Radical Optimism.
Dua Lipa, the Aaron Fraser album.
Oh, yes, that was a good one. Yeah, Aaron Fraser's album of, I think, most well-known for his work with Duran Jones, The Indications.
Yes. The other singing voice of that.
August 08, Pretend It's Okay. August 08 was a local to Los Angeles rapper who died tragically, I think, 2 years ago. And then his mixtape got released over the summer this year. And then a really late addition, this came out, I think, in, like, November, almost made it in my top 10, was from the producer By Alexander, the album Memories for Sale at 66 Green Street, Soho, New York. Great album.
Yeah, I don't think I got to that one.
It reminded me of Animals by Casa Overall from last year.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of similar vibes. And that's my whole honorable mentions.
But yeah, those are my top 10s.
You want to go back over our top 10s real quick?
Yeah, sure. I'm going to run through the list. Let's run it back. Keenan Gibson's top 10. Coming in at number 10, it's The Vandalist by Nova Erez. Number 9, Fission by Dead Poets Society. Number 8, Where's My Utopia by Yard Act. Number 7, The New Sound by Jordy Creep. Number 6, Tyler the Creator's Chromacopia. Number 5, GNX by Kendrick Lamar. Number 4, 10 Modern American Work Songs by St. Lennox. Number 3, Invader by Regurgitator. Number 2, Yours Until the War Is Over by Amigo the Devil. And number 1, Doechii's Alligator Bites Never Heal.
Great list. Honestly, like, I'm trying to think. I think this is the list that you've made since I think it's like, what, our third or fourth year doing this? I'd say this is the year that I am the most, like, on board your top 10. Like, yeah. There's none of the albums that you, like, all of the albums that you mentioned, I'm like, that's at least, they're all at least 8 out of 10s.
Yeah.
There is nothing in there that I'm like, ugh.
Have I put ugh on there before?
I wasn't a huge, I think last year you put the Max Caster album on, and I'm like, not a huge fan of that album.
Max Champion.
I did, yeah. That album has the opposite of grown on me since I first listened to it. Pretty much every time I listen to it now, I'm kind of, like, less about it.
No, I like that album a lot.
My top 10.
Yeah.
In number 10 is the Challengers original score by Trent Reznor and Atticus Ross. My number 9 is the album Fission by Dead Poets Society. My number 8 is JPEG Mafia's I Lay Down My Life for You. Number 7 is Yard Axe Where's My Utopia. Number 6 is Kendrick Lamar's GNX. Number 5 is Charlie XCX's Brat. Number 4 is St. Lennox's 10 Modern American Work Songs. My number 3, which was Keenan's number 1 album of the year, is Doechii's Alligator Bites Never Heal. My number 2 is Amigo the Devil's Yours Until the War Is Over. And my album of the year is Jordy Greep's The New Sound.
Yeah, that's also a great list.
Great year for music.
Yeah, great year for music.
And hip-hop's back, baby!
Hip-hop's back! We were talking about it last year, and we were like...
Hip-hop's dead!
And now it's like, it's back! Riding with my DMX, with a nigga put in the tape back. No, dude, and we share a lot this year, too.
We did. Three on the nose. But then we shared, I think, like, how many? A bunch.
GNX, The New Sound, Where's My Utopia?
1, 2, 3, 4 Alligator five, Bites. Six,
I think we shared seven.
Seven, yeah.
Yeah, we shared seven.
So wait, the three that we didn't each share was I had Challengers, mm-hmm. I had JPEG, and I had Charlie XCX.
I had The Vandalist, Chromacopia, and Invader.
All right, right. Which are all great. All those are great albums.
Yeah.
I would say of those three, my favorite is definitely Regurgitator.
Fair. Awesome. I mean, of those three, it was mine too. It ranked higher.
Yeah, it's ranked. It's very fair.
But yeah, dude, that's the top 10. We did it. Another year of music.
Yay!
Let
us know what your favorite albums were.
Yeah. Are you excited about anything
coming up this next year?
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I think last year we talked about the possibility. No, I think it was 2 years ago. We talked about the possibility of Kendrick dropping. I don't think anybody expected GNX to drop this year, especially after the whole beef thing. I think. Everybody kind of was like, this is it.
No, but I think it was like, then it completely flipped once they were like, he's doing the Super Bowl. It was like, everyone was like, here comes an album.
Yeah. I'm excited for that. I'm excited for the Kendrick Lamar Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't really know what, I don't know what other albums are coming out next year, to be honest. I hope there is a new Run the Jewels next year.
I would love to. It's been a while. Run the Jewels 4 came out in 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be something I would like to have come out next year, being Run the Jewels album.
I know. I mean,
it's too much to expect, but I wouldn't say no to another JPEG album.
Yeah, I always wouldn't like say no to like another Tyler album. Yeah. I doubt we get one, but I'd like it.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know specifically what albums are dropping next
David
year.
David Wax Museum is dropping an album after we listen to this.
Really? After we recorded this?
Yeah.
Like in December?
It comes out on Christmas.
Oh, interesting. Is it a Christmas album?
No.
It's just an album on Christmas?
Yep.
What a weird day to drop an album.
I know. At least, like, based off of, like, because I saw, like, the track preview.
Yeah.
And it doesn't...
seem Christmassy.
It doesn't seem Christmassy.
Hmm.
Maybe it's Secret Christmas.
I guess I'll be listening to that next Friday, which is good, because we're in, like, the doldrums of music. There's nothing.
It's the holidays, and people are doing stuff, and no one's...
I don't know. Boldy James dropped a fire ass album on Friday.
Yeah.
Like this most recent Friday. But I'm a huge fan of Boldy James. So he's not somebody I'd necessarily recommend to everybody.
Is there anything from last year that like has stuck with you?
Let me look at my top 10 from last year. What about you?
Still listen to The Age of Pleasure every now and again. Scaring to Hoes is still like, I think, my favorite Jim album.
Yeah.
Like, if I ever don't, like, know, like, really what to listen to, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want this, I'll put on Scaring to Hoes.
Nice.
The Tiana Esperanza album, the Jessie Ware album. I don't listen to the Arx album as much as I used to.
Hmm.
I still listen to Bad Dreams, Twin Temples.
I just introduced Twin Temple to somebody, like, very recently.
Yeah. The Lofi album. I still listen to the Geese album.
She really blew up.
Yeah.
Lofty.
Yeah, she did. She actually just released a Christmas EP.
Oh, nice.
That I'll probably listen to on Christmas.
Nice. My from last year, I mean, Norm by Andy Schaaf would still be my number one. I think probably the biggest shifter, I don't know where it would end up, maybe even number two, but Youth Lagoon's Heaven is a Junkyard has super grown on me since then. Other than that, though, nah, this seems pretty much where I would keep all this stuff. Yeah.
I think this is going to be a year, like, I see myself listening to all 10 of my albums, like, continuously. Like,
oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of the stuff really stuck with me, and it was really good.
So, I mean, the album that I'm probably the least likely to listen to is Challengers, but I will still listen to it all the time, because I just put it on in the background.
Right.
It's like a big, like, if I'm playing video games and I don't want to have to, like, really be paying attention to what I'm listening to, like, Challengers.
Hell just yeah.
Gets you going.
Gets you going.
Well, and is there anything you're excited about for music next year?
No, I can't really think of anything.
There hasn't been anything, like, teased that has seemed, that like, a big thing. Wait, isn't Beyonce's third? Because isn't it a trilogy? Her horse trilogy, I'm going to unofficially call it.
Horse trilogy.
Probably. Well, each of them has a horse.
I know. That's why I thought it was funny. Probably. Then, if it is a trilogy, it might.
I think there's a third one coming this year. I wonder what it's going to be. She did disco, she did country. Classical.
Oh, I guess. Maybe she does, like...
It's probably, like, rock.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's, like...
Or maybe she makes, like... Maybe she goes, like, and does, like, a full actual rap album.
That'd be cool.
She can rap.
Yeah.
Beyonce can rap.
So, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see what this horse brings.
We will see. Maybe this whole thing with the... With Jay-Z getting indicted and stuff is putting a little damper on her.
Maybe.
On her album release schedule.
I think this is the year, though. I think she's going to get her Grammy for Best Album.
For Cowboy Carter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Grammys are going to love that.
Finally.
You know? Everyone said she's going to get it for Renaissance, and I was like, no, it's going to be Harry's House.
What was it? Lemonade was the original one I think everybody thought she was going to get it for.
Yeah. Lemonade Mouth.
And with that, that was 2024 in music.
That was 2024 in music. Yeah, let us know what you think. We'll probably be back with more stuff. We should do more episodes.
Yeah, we should do some more episodes. Maybe we should do like a monthly music review podcast of just stuff that's come out in the month that we've been listening to. Just casually mentioning
just,
it.
Just to converse. You know,
just be like, hey, what was January like for you musically? And then what have you been listening to at the gym? Gym Rats with Keenan Gibson.
Gym Rats. Here's the thing. If you're pumping your chest, you're going to want to listen to
Beethoven.
Classical music does hit sometimes.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah, fucking.
As you pump iron.
Yeah, fucking flat. I fucking love Flight of the Bumblebees.
I believe it.
Okay. But yeah, that was the year of music. So let us know what you think. We'll be back with more stuff. I'm Gibson.
I'm Galloway.
And we'll see you on the flip-flop.